Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, Mario Ritter, Alice Bryant, and Dorothy Gundy will present a roundup of the top news stories of 2016. Later, Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
Today, we look back at some of the biggest news stories of 2016. With stories of conflict, tension, and peace, it was a complicated year. First on people's list was the result of the U.S. presidential election.
On Election Day, The New York Times reported that Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton had an 85% chance of winning the presidency. But it was Republican Donald Trump who won. It was one of the biggest political upsets in United States history. Trump will become America's 45th president on January 20th. The billionaire businessman and television star was not even expected to win the Republican Party nomination. At the beginning of the year, political experts expected one of his many Republican opponents to become the party's nominee. But Trump won the most Republican primaries. Then, on November 8th, Trump won four important industrial states: Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Those key victories helped him win the presidential election. Trump has promised to bring back factory jobs lost to other nations. During his campaign, he promised to make America great again. Here is how Trump explained his victory over Clinton. "As I've said from the beginning, ours was not a campaign, but rather an incredible and great movement made up of millions of hard-working men and women who love their country and want a better, brighter future for themselves and for their families." The presidential campaign was divisive. Trump called his opponent Crooked Hillary. Clinton described Trump as being temperamentally unfit and totally unqualified to be president. Clinton won the national popular vote by more than 2 million votes, but she lost several industrial states that Barack Obama, also a Democrat, won in 2008 and in 2012. Those losses hurt her. She was not able to receive enough electoral votes in the Electoral College. Members of the Electoral College base their votes on the winner in each of America's 50 states and the District of Columbia. Trump gained more than 270 electoral votes needed to be the winner. President Barack Obama campaigned for Clinton. After the election, He told National Public Radio, NPR, that the Democratic Party failed to give people in rural areas a sense day to day that we're fighting for them.
Another political surprise took place with Britain's referendum on whether the nation would remain in the European Union. The movement was known as Brexit. London, Scotland, and Northern Ireland voted to remain in the European Union, but other parts of Britain voted in favor of Brexit. Many supporters of Brexit were shocked, as were opponents of the move, when they won the vote on June 23rd. British Prime Minister David Cameron, who supported remaining in the EU, resigned as a result of the vote. That cleared the way for Britain's second woman Prime Minister, Theresa May. She has promised to start the process of leaving the group. It will require new agreements on everything from trade to security. British money, the pound, lost exchange value against other currencies after the vote.
Several major terrorist attacks took place outside of conflict areas in 2016. The deadliest terrorist attack took place in France when a man drove a truck through a celebrating crowd on Bastille Day, July 14th, in the coastal city of Nice. 86 people were killed and more than 400 were injured. The driver was a Tunisian man living in Nice. He was shot and killed by police. French President François Hollande promised new security efforts. "Nothing will make us give way in the fight against terrorism," he said. Germany faced a similar attack days before the Christmas holiday. A man drove a truck into a crowd at a Christmas market in Berlin. 12 people died and many more were injured. In July, attackers killed 41 people and wounded about 240 more with gunfire and explosives at Istanbul's main airport in Turkey. Earlier in the year, suicide attackers killed 32 people in bombings at the city's airport and a subway station in Brussels, Belgium. Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attacks.
In the U.S., a series of shootings brought attention once again to gun violence. The deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history happened in June at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. The gunman, Omar Mateen, killed 49 people over 3 hours before dying in a shootout with police. Many more people were injured. During the incident, police said Mateen called himself an Islamic soldier and promised loyalty to the Islamic State. In July, a series of incidents involving police shootings and attacks on police made news. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a white police officer shot and killed Alton Sterling, a black man, during a struggle outside a store. The incident was captured on video and widely watched on social media. This led to large protests, violence, and mass arrests. About 2 weeks later, a gunman in Baton Rouge killed 3 police officers and wounded 3 others. Soon after the shooting of Sterling, Philando Castile was shot and killed by a police officer during a traffic stop in Minnesota. Part of the incident was captured on video by Castile's girlfriend. Then a peaceful demonstration against those police shootings turned deadly when 5 police officers were shot and killed in Dallas, Texas. The gunman, who was black, told police he was targeting white officers. He was killed with an explosive device on a law enforcement robot. President Barack Obama and other officials attended a memorial service in Dallas for the officers killed.
We will return with more of the top news stories of 2016 after a short break. You are listening to VOA Learning English.
United States Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died suddenly in February. President Obama nominated Merrick Garland, a U.S. Court of Appeals judge, to fill the 9-member court. However, Republicans in the Senate did not want Obama to appoint a replacement for Scalia, who was a strong conservative voice on the court. The Senate refused to consider the nomination, saying it was too close to the end of the president's term. The refusal angered Senate Democrats and left the Supreme Court with 8 instead of 9 justices.
The conflict in Syria remained intense during 2016. Forces loyal to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad regained control of rebel areas of the city of Aleppo with help from Russia. The cost was a humanitarian crisis made worse by many failed attempts at a ceasefire in the city. The United Nations says more than 4 million Syrian refugees have fled to neighboring countries. Hundreds of thousands are seeking asylum in Europe. Experts say EU member nations are becoming less willing to accept immigration requirements coming from EU headquarters in Brussels.
Only one country has tested nuclear devices in the 21st century. In 2016, North Korea carried out 2 nuclear tests, first in January and then in September. In both cases, the United Nations Security Council answered by placing strong sanctions on the country. The sanctions included trade restrictions. North Korea's actions worried its East Asian neighbors. South Korea answered North Korea's threats with its own sanctions. It also closed the Kaesong Industrial Center, a joint development project meant to build trust. In response to missile threats, South Korea agreed to the deployment of the U.S. THAAD missile defense system on its territory. The move led to increased tensions with China.
For generations of Americans, the idea of a U.S. president visiting the island of Cuba seemed impossible. No American president had visited the country since communist revolutionaries, led by Fidel Castro, took over in 1959. But in March, President Barack Obama made a historic visit to Cuba. His visit came 7 months after the U.S. reopened its embassy in the capital city of Havana. The U.S. still has trade restrictions on the country and denounces the island nation's human rights record. In November, Cuban revolutionary leader Fidel Castro died at the age of 90. His passing could signal political change for Cuba, but his brother, Raúl Castro, still remains in power. The younger Castro has ruled Cuba since 2008.
The Colombian government and the country's largest rebel group, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, known as FARC, reached a peace deal this year. The agreement aimed to end more than 50 years of conflict that has claimed more than 220,000 lives. The public signing of the deal earned a Nobel Peace Prize for Colombia's president, Juan Manuel Santos. However, the Colombian people voted against it in a referendum held in October. Critics, including former President Álvaro Uribe, said the deal gave amnesty to drug traffickers. This week, Colombia's Congress approved a law giving amnesty to thousands of FARC guerrillas guilty of minor crimes. The deal does not include fighters who have carried out war crimes or human rights violations. The law also extends to the country's military. Both the Congress and Senate have passed the new agreement. It includes reforms and payments to victims. FARC will become a political party under the deal.
And those are some of the top news stories for 2016.
I'm Dorothy Gundy.
I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Mario Ritter.
This is What's Trending Today. Many people have been reacting to the news of Carrie Fisher's death on Tuesday. Fisher died at the age of 60. She was best known for acting in the Star Wars movies, in which she played Princess Leia. Then, Fisher's mother, actress Debbie Reynolds, died because of complications from a stroke. Reynolds was 84. She was a star actress and singer starting in the 1950s. Her son and Fisher's brother Todd confirmed the news to reporters late Wednesday. Reynolds won her first big part at the age of 19 in the 1952 film Singin' in the Rain. She acted and danced with Gene Kelly, who was one of the most popular performers of that time. She made news in 1955 when she married singer Eddie Fisher. They had two children, Carrie and Todd. 3 years later, Fisher left Reynolds and married actress Elizabeth Taylor. It was the sensational Hollywood love triangle of the time. Reynolds was nominated for an Academy Award, known as an Oscar, for her part in the 1964 film The Unsinkable Molly Brown. After the 1960s, Reynolds had fewer film roles but still appeared often on television. Many people used social media to express their sadness upon hearing the news. They could not believe Reynolds died one day after her daughter. There is a Twitter account for Fisher's dog, Gary. It is run by a fan. The person tweeted a picture of Reynolds and Fisher, writing, "They don't make 'em like this anymore." Comedian and talk show host Ellen DeGeneres wrote, "I can't imagine what Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds' family are going through this week. I send all of my love." Actor William Shatner is best known for his role as Captain Kirk in the Star Trek series. He wrote, "Debbie Reynolds was one of the last of Hollywood royalty. It breaks my heart that she is gone. I'd hoped that my grieving was done for 2016. Other fans posted tributes to the women. Some made videos showing Reynolds' work as a dancer, like this clip of Reynolds performing with Donald O'Connor in the film I Love Melvin from 1953. And a French artist posted an illustration of Reynolds and Fisher holding hands, dressed in their costumes from Singin' in the Rain and Star Wars. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Today, we are going to talk about the perfect verb tenses. Perfect tenses generally focus on how a past action affects the present. For example, I have already eaten. The suggestion is that the speaker is not hungry. Perfect verb tenses are the most difficult for English learners. The term perfect can be confusing. What does grammar have to do with not making mistakes? When you are talking about grammar, perfect has a different meaning. It comes from the Latin word perfectum, which means complete. The most important thing to remember is the perfect tenses always refer to completed actions. If you get confused, try replacing perfect with completed, and the time relationship should become clearer.
We will start with the present perfect. You form the present perfect using has or have, followed by a past participle verb. For example, I have seen Star Wars. The use of the present perfect here gives us three pieces of information. First, it tells us that the event is finished. Second, it tells us that the exact time of the action is unknown or unimportant. Third, it suggests that the experience of seeing Star Wars has some effect in the present. One of the most difficult distinctions for English learners to make is the difference between the simple past
and present perfect. Remember, when there is a specific time, you use the simple past. In the sentence, I saw Star Wars last night, the adverb last night is a specific time. You cannot say, I have seen Star Wars last night. But you could say, I have seen Star Wars before, or in the past, or three times.
You should also use the present perfect to refer to a repeated action in the past. For example, I have taken that test four times. The exact time of each action is not important. You can also use the present perfect to describe an action that did not happen, using the adverb never. I have never traveled outside of my country, and I have never smoked in my entire life. Something that did not happen in the past, like not traveling and not smoking, can also have an effect in the present. The adverbs never, already, yet, and so far are common in the present perfect. Adverbs are often the best indicators of which verb tense to use.
Now, let us look at the past perfect. The past perfect describes an activity that was finished before another event in the past. For example, she had already had a baby before she graduated. To form the past perfect, use had, followed by a past participle verb. For the second action, use before, or by the time, followed by the simple past verb. Imagine you were at a New Year's Eve party, but you fell asleep before midnight. You could say, I had already fallen asleep before the new year came. You can also use the past perfect to talk about how an experience from the distant past relates to an experience from the more recent past. For example, the soldier wasn't scared because he had already been in battle before. In other words, battle was not a new experience for the soldier. If the time relationship is clear, you can choose between the past perfect and the simple past. My grandfather passed away before I was born has the same meaning as my grandfather had passed away before I was born. The past perfect just emphasizes that the first action was completed before the second action.
Let us move on to the future perfect. Use the future perfect when you know that one future action will be completed before another future action. For example, I will have graduated from college before my little brother graduates from high school. The future perfect has very limited use because we rarely know a future sequence of events with any certainty. When it is used, the future perfect usually refers to major life events that are planned years in advance. And those are the three perfect tenses. Join us next week on Everyday Grammar for an explanation of the perfect progressive tenses.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.